is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Pinsling here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are here only 2 days after the end of the NBA Finals to talk about the start of the crazy NBA offseason with the trade of Anthony Davis from the Pelicans to the Lakers. Jason, wow.
Well, here's the thing. You were right. I was wrong. The last podcast you said you thought for sure that he was going to get traded sooner rather than later. I didn't see it coming on a Saturday night. You know, it's kind of funny, I think, because once again, in a slightly different way, the Lakers and LeBron have taken all the headlines away from the Raptors after less than 2 days after they win the championship. They've kind of swiped away any headlines because now this is all anyone's going to be talking about.
Who are the Raptors?
Exactly. Come Monday, there's going to be no discussion about the Raptors, and it's only going to be all the talking heads on ESPN are going to be talking about this trade and what team got the better end of it. And, you know, I have to give it to Griff. I mean, he got a good amount of stuff for it. Let's be honest here. You know, I thought it funny because I texted a few friends, and the theme seemed to be, oh, I would have waited and seen if I could have gotten Kuzma in it, too. I'm like, my God, what else do you want from this trade? I don't know. I think they got a pretty good haul, and obviously we don't know what Ingram's situation is, and we don't know, you know, Ball's foot situation. But I think it's a good deal for both teams. You know, the Lakers got what they wanted, and I think the Pelicans have a young core to build around now. So
yeah, I agree. I think that from the Lakers' standpoint, the relationship between all those young guys that got shipped out and LeBron was clearly damaged. And I don't think that was being repaired. So even if you project that those guys are going to end up being good enough to be part of a championship caliber team with LeBron, I just think that that relationship had been fractured. And so they probably needed to go if you were going to put together a, you know, a winning team around LeBron. And obviously the opportunity to bring in Anthony Davis, who arguably one of the top five players in the league, and pair him with LeBron, I think is, you know, what you want to do. It's a big price to pay. I think it really is. But if you're the Pelicans now, you have Zion sitting there. You've got Lonzo. You got Brandon Ingram. You got Josh Hart. You got the number four pick in the draft, although there's lots of rumors out there that they're now going to shop that number four pick and see if they can't get somebody else out of there. I was seeing a lot of Bradley Beal mentions on Twitter. That would be a really nice fit there, although I'm not sure that just the number four pick nets them Bradley Beal. I think they'd have to throw in some other stuff. I'm not sure what else they would have to throw in, but if you were to put Beal on that team with LeBron and Anthony Davis, it would look pretty good. You know, if you're the Pelicans, I think it comes to you hope that all those guys are healthy. It seems like all indications are that Brandon Ingram is going to be fine. I read something tonight that they expect him to be back playing or at least working out or getting back to, you know, taking part in basketball activities by sometime in July. And so if that's the case and he's going to be healthy, great. And then Lonzo, same thing. I don't know what his health status eventually is going to be, but you got to figure that he's going to be fine. You just hope that he doesn't become a guy that just has a history of injuries. Josh Hart's a solid player that any team could use. We'll see how he develops and what if he eventually becomes a player that you could put into a, you know, a quality team that's going to make runs deep into the playoffs. But it seems like he's going to be pretty good. And then who knows what they get with the number four pick, who that turns into, or if they're able to trade it and get somebody else that can help them. But they definitely have the makings of a fun young team. If you're a fan of the Pelicans, even if they don't have a tremendously successful year in terms of one loss record, they're definitely going to be a fun team to watch play. And potentially they have some really good, they could be a really good defensive team because they're going to be long and they're going to have positional flexibility with each of those guys to be able to switch. And so I think they've got the makings of a nice core there for sure in New Orleans.
Yeah. So just a few things. I think you said talking about the fourth pick being shopped. The one team that I find slightly intriguing is Atlanta, primarily because they have those three first round picks as it is. And if Atlanta really wants to jump up, you know, maybe they trade the I think they have the what, the 8, the 10, and the 17, I think is what did they have. Maybe they trade the 8 and the 17 and they jump to 4. If they're really that intrigued, I don't know. But I think Atlanta would be my team to watch in a sense because they've got those 3 first round picks, and I think you've got that team that could provide them with the option to you know, make a move and get up there.
It could. Yeah. I wonder though, what I was reading was that the Pelicans maybe wanted to bring in somebody to bring in another veteran so that maybe they could contend is the wrong way to put it, but that they could kind of get going this year and maybe make the playoffs with the group that they have if they added another veteran guy with that pick rather than picking up 2 younger guys. Although, again, you pick up 2 number one picks and still you got to figure their timeline that they're basing the timeline on Zion. But, you know,
maybe Kevin Love for the number 4 pick.
There we go. That could be good. Cavs could draft 4 and 5. That would probably assure us of getting Jarrett Culver, who I think that's the guy I know we're going to probably do a draft pod at some point. But I'm starting to like and target Culver. I've kind of been on him for a while, and I don't know. I think he might be the guy for the Cavs if now the Pelicans don't pick him at number 4 or whoever they trade that pick.
I want to be clear. I don't want the Cavs to trade Kevin Love for the 4 pick, but I that's just me. I don't want it. I want to hold on to any little piece of the championship team that I can. I don't know. It's just me at this point. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think the other thing too, I don't know if you, I'm sure you haven't because you're not really like on the Instagram game very much, but there's some shade being thrown on Instagram. So immediately after the trade came out, Josh Hart tweeted our Instagram story, a picture of himself smiling and giving a thumbs up. And then, Brandon Ingram's Instagram storied a smiley face emoji on his. So I think I know right before the podcast I played the LeVar Ball, and if I can figure out how to insert the clip into the podcast, I'll do it right here.
LeVar seemed he seemed to feel like he was putting a curse on the Lakers.
Yeah, but anyways, I think that. As you
is
said,
is Lonzo going to become the new Billy? Is he the new Billy Goat? Is Lonzo the new Billy Goat?
I don't know, but it seems that the relationship was tenuous at best, between all those players and LeBron. So I think in the Lakers. So I think that in the end, the players aren't going to be too upset about the whole situation, and obviously LeBron's not going to be too upset because he got his man.
Yeah, I think. If you're one of those young guys, if you're one of the 3 Lakers that got traded, to me, you've got to be ecstatic because it was clear that LeBron didn't want you around, didn't have much respect for you. And again, I don't know what it looked like in the locker room, and I don't know what the relationship looked like, but it certainly seems from the fact that they tried to engineer the Davis trade in the middle of the season that it was clear that LeBron wasn't happy with those guys and didn't want to play with them long term. And him and Rich Paul were certainly working behind the scenes to make the Davis trade happen during the season. And it just took them a little while longer than they thought. But eventually you get a guy who's a top 5 player in the league to pair with LeBron. And it's a pretty good situation. Now the question will be, what can they do to fill out the rest of the roster to make it so that the Lakers can get back suddenly
into contention?
J.R. Smith? Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's...
Carmelo?
I know we talk. Well, there's still the CP3.
Dwayne Wade come out of retirement?
That wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me in the least if Dwayne Wade ended up on the Lakers. I could definitely see that.
Especially because Gabrielle Union's on America's Got Talent, and that's out in Los Angeles.
There you go. Hey, might as well do it. If you're Dwayne Wade, that would make a lot of sense. I was seeing some CP3 talk. I don't see the Lakers doing that. There's LeBron. LeBron doesn't need a point guard. I just don't see where CP3 makes sense with that group. I think, I know I mentioned earlier, Bradley Beal, I think, would make a lot of sense. I'm not sure Kemba Walker, the idea of Kemba Walker makes some sense, but he's not really much of a defender, and I don't know that I'd want to pay Kemba Walker. The guy who makes the most sense is, who do you think?
Kyrie.
It's Kyrie. I mean,
it's not even a question.
At this point, I don't know. I mean, the theory was for a long time, the rumor was that Kyrie wanted to play with Anthony Davis and Anthony Davis wanted to play with Kyrie, not necessarily in Boston, but that the two of them wanted to play together. Although Kyrie has now been linked with, he's like a Kardashian. He's been linked with Anthony Davis. He's been linked with, you know, he's been linked with Durant, and he's
he left his representation. You saw that, right?
Right. I know he's got with Rock Nation.
Rock Nation, which is Jay-Z's, and that that immediately says Brooklyn right there. I mean,
Well, maybe he's going to sign with Rich Paul next. Who knows? Maybe the ink isn't quite dry yet. They can still erase it.
Yeah.
I would not be that stunned if LeBron or if Kyrie after this deal, if Kyrie ends up in Los Angeles, I really wouldn't be that surprised. And to me, that's the guy that is the perfect fit for what they would need or what they would want to do. Otherwise, I'm not sure. Kawhi's not going to the Lakers with that group. Jimmy Butler, does Jimmy Butler make sense with that group? I'm not sure. I don't know. Kyrie's the guy that they go after. I could see him. I could see him if they can't get Kyrie. I could see them talking themselves into Kemba. But
so another one I saw, Mike, and you know, if they went after Kemba and then somehow finagled a way to get J.J. Redick on that team too, I think that would be interesting, having Kemba, Redick, LeBron, Davis, and then I don't know, fill that fifth spot with someone else. But I think that would be an interesting kind of situation. I mean, I know Redick's not on the same level as the other guys, but you know, he's a pretty good role player for what he is. You know what
right.
I mean?
And you don't need, again, if you get Davis and you have LeBron and you get Kemba and then you add J.J. Redick to that mix, you need some role players. They're going to have to fill out the rest of their roster. They're looking at a situation almost like what the Warriors were looking at this year, where, you know, the rest of their roster is going to be pretty thin just by virtue of how much they're paying their key guys. So they're going to have to be very, very judicious about how they use their money and what they do. And there's not really a very good track record of Rob Pelinka making good decisions there with the rest of the roster.
Yeah,
I agree.
So let's just hypothetically say right now we don't know who they're getting. You've got LeBron, Anthony Davis, you got Kuzma still, and then, you know, whoever else, you know, that's left on the team that has a contract, okay?
Okay.
Where do you put the Lakers in placing them, like, playoff seeds, just right now, as it stands? I know this is a big hypothetical situation, but I definitely think they're better than the Warriors, because the Warriors are going to be not good this year.
Yeah, they're clearly better than the Warriors. I got to believe that they're going to fill out the rest of the roster beyond LeBron, Davis, and Kuzma with average guys. Let's say they don't get another star, but they fill the roster with more average guys. I think they're probably, I mean, it's hard to argue that they can't be better than anybody out there in the West. I mean, maybe they're not better in the regular season because maybe LeBron is resting and Davis maybe gets one of his annual injuries and the rest of the roster isn't very good. But when push comes to shove and you lay it on the line, I think you could very easily make the argument that they could be the number one team. Now, they might not be the number one seed, but if they get another star and you pair them with those two guys and then you do some decent work building the rest of the roster, I mean, there's definitely a path for them to be the favorite in the Western Conference next year without any question.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be really, really good. I saw some pretty good tweets, and I wish I would have saved it because I can't find it. But they said something about, could you imagine if somehow the Lakers got Kawhi and then they could name their team the Los Angeles Load Management Ears or something like that, because Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kawhi would all need to take load management days. I can't remember the exact wording on the tweet, but I thought it was pretty funny. I agree with you. I don't think Kawhi is going there, but I just thought the tweet was worthy of a mention. So really quickly, before we continue this discussion, we have to address the fantastic segment that is Magic Johnson tweets, because he went crazy. So here we go.
Great job by owner Jeannie Buss bringing Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Laker Nation, the Lakers are back in a championship hunt. Congratulations to the entire organization. I know LeBron James has a big smile on his face. I'm loving this! Exclamation point, exclamation point. He gave two exclamation points there. Okay. Laker Nation, you did one of the great Jeannie Buss to step up and bring a championship team back to LA, and she's doing just that. Third tweet, and the Lakers still have over $30 million of cap space to spend on free agents starting June 30th. Thanks for giving us the start date, Magic Johnson. And then the last tweet, because someone at his PR department probably said you should probably say something to Rob Pelinka. Great trade, Rob Pelinka. Job well done.
Don't you wish you could hear what Magic, like, is Magic really that happy? Like, he leaves the organization and everything that he was trying to accomplish. I mean, in essence, this is the same trade that they were going to do back in February at the trade deadline. And since then, Magic's quit unceremoniously. Dell Demps has been fired. And then the two, whatever, I guess Magic really doesn't have a successor, but, you know, Griffin in New Orleans and whoever's now in charge of the Lakers pull off essentially the same trade that would have happened in February. It's kind of an interesting, you know, it's just interesting that it took us. Yeah, it's interesting that it took this long for the trade to go down. And in the meantime, two guys that were sort of central figures back in February are gone from their respective positions. And yeah, I mean, Magic, I don't know what to make of any of that. I mean, I guess in theory, he's once a Laker, always a Laker. And so he's happy, but I find it hard to believe that you went through your job and your job was to bring back the championship dynasty of the Lakers and you couldn't do it. And then somebody else, whoever that somebody is, LeBron, Jeannie Buss, Pelinka, whoever you want to give the credit to, now you make that happen and suddenly, bam, here they are. So it's interesting. There's some interesting things about the timing of when they can make it official in terms of how much cap space each team is able to get. I was looking to try to find what the difference is. It just depends. I guess if it's not finalized for 30 days, then the Lakers have the ability to free up $32.5 million in cap space. And, you know, if they do that, like we said, I think that they have the opportunity then to, I mean, they're going to be in the mix for other guys now. I mean, I know that everybody had kind of discounted the fact that people would consider going to the Lakers, but now I think they're, you know, sitting there before the draft, before free agency starts, you know, that Davis is going to be there. I think that's got to at least open the door to having conversations with everybody who's going to be a free agent this summer. I mean, I don't necessarily think that Kawhi is going to go there, but if you're Kawhi, wouldn't you have to kind of listen and see what they have to say, especially if you want to live in LA? Like now, there was a lot of talk before that the Clippers situation was maybe better with a more stable ownership and just, you know, a better group of talent there. But now, you got to look at the Lakers, and if you're another stud player and you're going to come in and it's going to be you, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, I mean, I think you'd be pretty confident that you'd fill out the roster with some, you know, some flotsam from the rest of the NBA and still end up having a really good chance to win a title.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, like you said, the thing is, like, you look at the teams in the West, and I just don't know. Those three right there are just staying LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kuzma, and you're not even mentioning the other guy that they're going to sign with the $30 million they have. I mean, there's not a lot of teams that are going to be able to stop LeBron and Anthony Davis by themselves, let alone adding Kuzma and that other guy. So I just think you've got to think LeBron and the Lakers are in a pretty good situation, and they're going to be, obviously, they're going to drive the offseason, at least the beginning here, I think. What's going to happen? Like, who's going to them? Because someone's going to join them. At this point, there's no doubt in my mind there's going to be another person. It's just going to be who is it? And we'll just have to see, I guess.
Yeah, and then the other thing that we haven't really talked about is where is LeBron on the downward cycle of his career? What LeBron are you getting? And that'll be interesting to see is – You know, this year he played obviously offensively at a high level and put up numbers that were as good as what he's, you know, as good as his career averages. I think he averaged 28, 8, and 8, so really no discernible drop-off. And I know we made fun of, as did other people, made fun of some of his defensive effort throughout the year. But he's kind of been like that the last few years with the Cavs until there was time for him to turn that up. And even then, he's not the same kind of wrecking crew defender that he was when he was in Miami. And again, Father Time beats everybody eventually. And he's certainly proven with his body that he can fight off injury, although he had to sit out this year for the first time for a significant period of time. You know, I still think that his body, the way he takes care of it and the money that he spends to make sure that he's in prime condition, is going to continue to allow him to play at a high level. But at some point, that begins to drop off. And if you have two other guys around him, Davis and somebody else, maybe he doesn't have to carry as big of a load. Maybe he takes a proverbial step back, although it's not his personality to do that. But maybe he just, in the regular season, dials it back and just gears up for the playoffs, and then boom, he's back and ready to go. So I think that's something that you definitely have to keep an eye on, because he'll be, what, 34, 35 during next season. And history says that there's only very few guys who can continue to play at a high level.
Yep.
at that age. And, you know, he may very well be one of them, and it wouldn't surprise me, but it's definitely something that you have to consider when you look at where, you know, where they're going to end up and what he's going to be able to do over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, someone said this trade reminds them of, and I'm sure you probably saw the similarities between the Lakers trading for Dwight Howard. I mean, I can't even mention Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis in the same sentence, but that's, you know, people said that. Kobe at the end of his career, and then they got Steve Nash because the Chris Paul trade fell through or whatever. Or David Stern politely declined the Chris Paul trade. That whole circumstance happened. But I don't see that parallel, primarily because Anthony Davis is 10 times better, in my opinion, than Dwight Howard. I know Dwight Howard's going to Hall of Famer, but I just think...
Well, Davis is younger. I mean, Dwight Howard was probably, at that point, he was probably 29, 30 when they got him. Maybe he was a little bit older than that. I'm not sure. But Davis is 26, and he's clearly a top five talent in the league. And his problem has been getting nicked up and having little injuries, and he just hasn't had the playoff success. So who knows what he looks like when it comes time to put up or shut up in the playoffs. But based on his talent, obviously, you're going to expect him to come through and be very, very, very good. So there's not really, I don't think those parallels are accurate simply because of the age of Anthony Davis compared to, yeah, you get Dwight Howard at 30, you get Steve Nash by that point was 37 or 38. So you're just talking about those guys are waiting to break down, whereas Davis is arguably heading into, still hasn't gotten to the prime of his career when you look at guys who have been top flight playoff performers and won titles. Most guys don't start getting into that level of success until they're 26, 27, 28, 29. And Davis is just coming into that. And if he can be the guy and LeBron's the second guy, or even if LeBron continues to play at a level where LeBron is still the guy and Davis is number two, that's a pretty good number two.
That's a pretty good tandem there.
Yeah, it's a pretty good tandem. So I think if you're the Lakers, you have to look at this as a huge win, not only just for getting Davis, but for what it sets you up to be able to do with that other max slot that they're going to be able to create. And then, like I said, it's going to be up to Pelinka, Genie Buss, LeBron, whoever it is, that Rich Paul, whoever's making these decisions for the Lakers about who they're going to bring in to fill out the rest of the roster. And I know we were joking earlier about Dwayne Wade, but honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Dwayne Wade ends up on the Lakers. And there's going to be other guys who are towards the tail end of their careers who maybe want to get there, or maybe there'll be guys who will take a discount.
Can Jason Kidd suit up?
Can Jason Kidd suit up? Maybe. Who knows? He might be able to. And just you saying Jason Kidd reminded me of Jason Tatum and the Celtics. What a disaster this has been for the Celtics.
Oh, they're going to lose Kyrie. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Kyrie's gone, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he goes back to Boston.
They're not going to have Anthony Davis. So now it's almost like, do the Boston Celtics consider, like, half rebuilding at this point. Like, they don't have anyone.
They just basically, what you're doing is, if you're Boston now, you almost have to just bring back the roster that you have without Kyrie.
Isaiah Thomas? This is not a joke, Mike. This is not a joke.
Maybe. I mean, he's going to come. He's going to come cheap. Let's put it that way. I don't think Isaiah would go back to Boston.
Yeah, probably not. I was being cheeky a little bit there, but I understand. I don't know.
But, you know, they bring back their current roster. If Gordon Hayward gets back to where he was in his last year in Utah before the injury, that team, I don't know. I don't know what they are. I don't know how good Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be. But I know that for all the things that they had and everything that they had built up over the years in terms of draft picks, in terms of players, in terms of opportunity, they don't have a whole lot left. And what do they have to show for it? Now, that's not to say that Jaylen Brown and Tatum aren't good players and that team's not going to be a good team next year. But if you just bring back that current roster, I'm not sure that they're going to be a contender. They're not. I don't think they're as good as Philly. I don't think they're as good as Milwaukee. And who knows what Toronto's going to look like. So in all honesty, the East could be as good as it was this year at the top. It could be significantly worse next year if Kawhi bolts and goes west, whether he goes to the Clippers or somewhere else.
Butler and Harris leave Philly.
And I was hearing some stuff today about Milwaukee that, you know, Milwaukee has Middleton's a free agent. Mirotić is a free agent. Brogdon's a free agent. You know, I don't know that they're going to be able to keep those guys. Not that they necessarily want to keep Mirotić, but I'm sure they want to keep Middleton, and I'm sure they want to keep Brogdon. And the question for them, again, we talked about it before, but do they want to keep, is that roster, is Chris Middleton, if he's your second best player, is that good enough to compete and win a title? I'm not 100% sure, unless the rest of your roster. You know, you could do the same exercise with Toronto and say, okay, Kawhi's the best player. Who's the second best player on Toronto?
I'm going to stick by my Siakam statement.
All right, that's so what I'm going to stick by. Is Siakam? I mean, I think maybe Siakam has a higher ceiling over the next couple of years, maybe than Middleton. But this year in this moment, was Siakam better than Middleton? I mean, maybe, but. Certainly not significantly better. So I guess if you're Milwaukee, you know, the question is just what can you do? It'll be interesting. It's interesting to me that Milwaukee's never mentioned as a place where guys might want to go play. And I know part of it is the city and just like Cleveland
it's
here.
Cold,
it's not,
man.
It's not right. It's not a free agent destination, but you think you pair Giannis with, you know, you bring back Brogdon or Middleton or both, or, you know, whatever you have to do. And if you were able to get another guy in there, let's say you lost one of those two or both of those two, but you were able to bring Kawhi or bring Kyrie or bring somebody in there to play with him. It's just like when LeBron was in Cleveland, you can build a roster around stars if you have those stars in your city, regardless of where the city is. So yeah. I don't know. I think the East potentially could be a lot worse. And obviously the Knicks, people thought that, you know, 3 weeks ago, I think it was pretty much looked like a lock.
Did you see the tweet I sent you?
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed
that
one.
Thank you, Jason Concepcion, for that tweet. That cracked me up.
Yeah, I did enjoy that one. I think it's amazing that 3 weeks ago, it was pretty much a lock that KD and Kyrie were going to New York. And now, who knows? I mean, I don't. And if you're in New York, do you want KD? I know we said it the other day. I think they'll both Clay and KD will be back in Golden State. And obviously, since the last time we talked, it became confirmed that Clay tore his ACL. So now you're looking at both of those guys pretty much sitting out all, if not most, of the year. And that's a lot of money to pay two guys who aren't going to play. And Clay is obviously going to be able to come back and probably play at a pretty high level. But with Durant, you just don't know. The Achilles injuries, there's not a great history of guys coming back. So they're going to be significantly weaker. And who knows, maybe they have their sights set on going somewhere else. I'm sure KD's going to get massive offers from more than just the Warriors. So maybe he takes the offer. Maybe he takes the max offer, knowing that he may never get back to where he was physically after the Achilles. And if he only rolls over that player option, maybe he doesn't. Maybe there's not a max contract sitting for him after next season. So who knows? We'll have to talk more about some of our free agent predictions. Maybe right after the draft, heading into July 1, we can talk more about that. But this was certainly an interesting trade. It's certainly a great way to kick off the NBA offseason. I think if you're the Pelicans, you have to be very, very satisfied with what you got, considering the fact that Davis basically put out an ultimatum saying, I'm not going to play for the Pelicans anymore. And if you're a New Orleans fan, I think you got to be super excited about what you're going to be able to watch. As long as those guys that came over from the Lakers are healthy, you're going to have a fun team. And even if they don't trade the 4 pick for a veteran or for more picks, whatever they do, even if they use that number 4 pick, you're going to get another good young player to pair with all the guys that you have now. And that's a fun team. That's going to be a fun team to watch. Plus, Alvin Gentry loves to get up and down the floor. And with a bunch of young guys that can run and are athletic and can get up and down, that's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. So I think definitely checking out some Pelicans games and seeing what they're all about next fall is gonna be exciting. It's gonna be one of the teams that people are gonna really have their eye on early in the season to see what they have.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be. Are we good with the AD comments? Are we good?
We're good.
Okay, so I kind of want to just we can't not mention it because it's a very big move, in my opinion, is the Cavs hiring a woman to be an assistant coach because she will be the first official assistant coach on staff. Her name's Lindsay Gottlieb. She was a coach at University of California, Berkeley, women's basketball head coach, where she led the team to a 179-89 record. In her tenure from 2000, she took over in 2011. The team made the NCAA tournament 7 out of 9 seasons while she was there. And obviously, University of California, Berkeley is not like, it's kind of, I would put it in the mid-major program, right? I mean, that's not a...
I don't think they've been a women's powerhouse. I mean, it's not a mid-major coming from the Pac-12, but it's definitely not. I mean, I'm looking at her record here. So she made 7 NCAA tournament appearances during her 8 years as a head coach. So, she obviously had a solid program to be able to make the tournament 7 out of the 8 years she was there.
Yeah.
The question just is, again, it's interesting that the Cavs have sort of become an outside the box thinking team, because first of all, hiring Beilein out of the college ranks is unusual. And now, adding Lindsay Gottlieb to the mix certainly is something that is interesting. It's something that, if you look around the landscape of the league, it's the direction that things are headed in terms of having more diversity on your staff. And I don't think it matters, man, woman, if you know how to teach the game and you can gather the players' respect, then I think it makes a lot of sense. So obviously there's been some, there's been some precedent with Becky Hammon in San Antonio. And a guy I know I mentioned in another podcast, but I heard Jenny Busek from the Mavericks speak at the coaches clinic there in Chicago, and she was very, very good. So I think if a female is qualified for the job, which obviously in this case she is, and the team felt that she was, then it's a good hire. And I'm all for hiring good people who can do a good job. And so it'll be interesting to see how she does and how the players react to her and what success she's able to have in her NBA coaching career. So congrats to the Cavs for doing something outside the box. I'm always a fan of doing something different as opposed to hiring retreads where you already know what you have. So we'll see what happens. Should be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought I think it's very interesting. And like you said, it's kind of the Cavs thinking outside the box, and I kind of like it. What else you know, the Cavs obviously were in the bottom of the barrel this year. So let's throw some different things and try some new things out. And I still stand by. I think I like the Beeline hire. I really like that they got Bickerstaff on the staff as well, because obviously he's coached, and he's kind of there to help Beeline with the whole NBA experience situation, because obviously Beeline hasn't been through a grind of an NBA season, and now they've got this Lindsey Gottlieb on the staff too. So it'd be interesting. I don't know. Are they keeping Damon Jones on the staff? Did they completely gut it? Do you know?
I have not heard anything about Damon Jones, so I don't know if he's still part of the staff or not part of the staff. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, but I kind of like it. I just like him kind of hitting the refresh button, so to speak. I think it's a good move.
Yep, and hopefully they'll make another good move come Thursday night, and we'll see who they end up picking and what that means for the future of that franchise. And we'll get to see what New Orleans does with their newly acquired number 4 pick, whether they keep it and actually select a player, whether they're able to move it for more draft picks or a veteran player or whatever it is that they're going to do. And again, this is just the start of a shakeup of the NBA landscape. And I think it's going to look very, very different next year, because, you know, this was the first year where the East became wide open when LeBron went to the Lakers, and the Cavs had kind of had a stranglehold on the East. And obviously everyone felt that the Warriors had a stranglehold on not just the Western Conference, but the NBA title. And, you know, that was ripped away through injury, and Toronto was able to get it done. But next year, I don't think you're going to go into the season with, I don't think the Warriors are going to be the favorites in the West for sure. And I don't think the Raptors, even if they bring everybody back, I'm not sure that they'd be favored to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, even if they have their entire roster back. Cause you know, I think Philly's only going to continue to get better again, depending on what happens with their off season. And Giannis is going to continue to get better. And it's hard to believe that Milwaukee's going to take a huge step back regardless of what their roster ends up looking like, just because Giannis is so good. So it should probably be the most wide open, at least heading into the season. It should have the most wide open feel of any season in 5 or 6 years, where you really have no idea what teams are going to end up there at the top as the number one seeds and as the favorites, because again, the Warriors aren't going to be there. And I'm not sure that the Raptors, although they're going to be the defending champion, they could be 3 weeks from now, they could be in complete rebuild mode too. So yeah. Who knows?
Very intriguing, and I bet you Adam Silver is very happy about it.
Well, there's certainly going to be a lot of NBA talk, as we can attest to, during this offseason. There's going to be lots of people speculating, talking, and then once moves are made, predicting what's going to happen in the upcoming season. So I think this was the kickoff to what should be a very entertaining next couple of months, and then leading into a very entertaining, as always, NBA season. It's funny that, again, here we are 48 hours after the finals ends, and already we've moved on, and we've kind of already forgotten about this season and what the Raptors did, and everybody's
Yes, they did.
So I think if you're Adam Silver, you want there to be player talk. You want there to be talk about movement. And although I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's tough. It's tough on fans. And I know that speaking as a Cavs fan last summer, when you kind of knew that LeBron was going to leave, was not fun. Conversely, when he came back, it was a lot of fun. So I don't feel nearly as invested in any of the free agent moves that are happening right now, or the trades that are happening right now. So from that standpoint, as just a general NBA fan and not looking at it through the eyes of a particular team, it's a lot of fun to see people moving around and see the landscape of the league change. And that's what makes for good conversation. So here we are.
Just so you know, Mike, something came up in my Facebook feed today about LeBron returning. It was this date in, was it 2012 or 2014? It was this date in 2014, the day after the Heat lost in the finals, that I wore my LeBron jersey to Head Start basketball camp, and you were giving me weird looks thinking, what are you thinking? What the heck are you doing? And I had put on social media, Return of the King. It showed up in my Facebook, and you were looking at me like, you're crazy. I remember my dad telling me, you're crazy, and being idiotic. He's never coming back here. and then he came back.
Well, when his contract's up in 2 years, I'll expect to see that jersey make its return. So.
Oh no, I'll modify it though and write Bronny James on the back.
Okay.
Of my
shirt. All right, we'll see if we get Bronny, then that can bring LeBron back too. So.
Yeah.
That's the way it's gonna go. All right, I don't have anything else. I don't know
if
you
do.
All right, I think we're gonna wrap it up there. And to everyone out there, we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.